Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS. Just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
I'm Tommy Joe Lucia. It is June 24th, 2025. There's wars all over and stuff like that. There's truces. The President of the United States has no problem dropping the F-bomb, but we're here to talk about rodeo. Joining me, the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism, her name is Kendra Santos, and our Wizard of Production, our producer of the show, Greg Teagarden. Welcome to episode 64. I got my hat on backwards. Time to party today. This is No Spin Rodeo. Hello, crew. What's happening?
How you doing, Tommy? I almost forgot to turn on your audio, so I guess I'm not that good of a wizard.
Did they hear me lip sync that, or did they hear me? Was that
no, they heard you. They heard
Miley
you.
Cyrus version of No Spin?
Nope, they got you.
Okay. Well, hello, Kendra. Always hello. So prim and proper.
Good afternoon. Always a pleasure.
You lie. You lie like a dog. You're telling, not telling the truth. Well, we're going to get started with today. Today will be a little interesting, a little, we'll take some left turns, do some stuff that may or may not interest you. But before we get started, trustworthy news from the only person that you can truly believe in this sport, if you read anything, Kendra Santos. Kendra, what's shaking in the rodeo world?
Okay, that claim is not true. There are
pretty darn true,
lovely people. And I'll say this too before I talk about the CNFR. Susan Canode and Jonna Cravens, do you know what a joy it is as a media nerd, as Ty used to call me, journalist, rodeo journalist, but whatever, to receive complete results, a press release, and courtesy photos every day from a major event? It is such a joy, and those events reap so many rewards from people like me. So I know some people don't still do that, like I'm missing the fact that Reno doesn't do that anymore. It's such money well spent. I'll say that to any rodeo, like, give me the tools and I will run for you. You know, it's like, anyway, I really appreciate those two. So I would love to just hit a few high notes about the 2025 CNFR, College National Finals Rodeo in Casper, and whip through the national champs, because last time we talked, it was just getting rolling. And did we decide that the bareback riding champ is Cooper Filipek or Filipek? We better start getting it right. He was the reserve champ in college last year, and he just won it. And he's got this little short-brimmed yellow hat. But he was so elated. And some comments that I saw of people saying that, like, seeing the joy when he, you know, hugged his mom and stuff. He sounds like just a cool young man. Anyway, happy for after being so close last year, they got over the hump. But I think he's doing very, very, very well at PRCA rodeos. Okay.
Did you ask me to do the phonics on the name? Because you remember episodes before the whole douche thing, right? So don't be trying to get me to clear things.
Yes,
it's not wise.
And when John Dowsch, yes. Phonics is important. And when we get to the team roping champions, we're going to have another one. Say, is it Weidenbener, Weidenbener? I'm guessing it's pretty important that we figure out how to pronounce this guy's last name. So anyway, let me just whip through them. A kid from Hawaii, Cameron Haumea, won the steer wrestling. The breakaway was Riley George from California and Kate Island. I believe it's the first tie that they've had, and it was timed in tenths. Let me do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, in the calf roping, okay, this was really cool. Tyler Calhoun is a bad cat. He's really good, and in the PRCA, he's already winning a lot. Okay, The high call was a tie between Tyler Calhoun and Slade Wood both riding Tyler's rescue horse that his dad made into a calf horse named Tater Tot. I mean, it was so cool. And so Tyler ended up winning it. And the bronc riding was James Perrin. And the goat tying, this machine by the name of Tori Brower. I'll just put it this way. She was high call and she won the short run in six flat. Like, there are a few people that go tires that seem sort of bionic. This Tori Brower is like, holy smokes. The team roping, Case and Richie and Cashton, is it Weed and Beaner? I'm sorry if it's White and Beaner. I'm not really sure, but they won the team roping. Case and Richie, the header, incidentally, rode the same horse that, let me get this right. He is the brother-in-law to Clay Smith, the world champion team roper. And Kaysen just won the college finals on the same bay horse that Clay Smith rode at the NFR last year. That's pretty neat. The barrel racing, this AC Pinkston and her horse Bullet, they kind of did the same thing that Tori Brower did in the goat time. They were high call, you know, in the barrel race, it's a random draw. It's not done slowest to fastest, but they had the fast time of the whole rodeo in the short round. That was cool. This bull rider, Trace Scarlavi, not positive which one it is, from Mid Plains Community College. I talked about him last episode a little bit because he had taken the lead, but he did, as we wondered if he would, he had it won before he nodded his head on the last one. So he was also the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association Men's Rookie of the Year. That picture that we have there, thank you, Greg, is of the men's all-around champ this year, who is a young Navajo cowboy by the name of Brad Marino from New Mexico State. And I thought that it was really interesting that his combination of events were bull riding and team roping. Mm. You do not hear that all that often. And I thought it was really sweet. His mom was like, you know, he's made every junior high finals, every high school finals, every college finals. He's a senior. And this is the first like major win of his youth rodeo career that is now over. And that picture to me of the special women in his life, I'm presuming that's his mom and his grandma and maybe his sister. It's so sweet. The women's rookie of the year, Addison Wright from Treasure Valley Community College, and the women's all-around champ, Hayden Thompson from Gillette College, also the 2023 all-around champ. So two all-around national titles in a college career, danged impressive. And she just roped yesterday at Reno also, so she's out there. A lot of these young people are like that, like the Cooper Filipek, if I'm saying his name right. You know, we're seeing these people in Reno. I promise you, Riley George is going to be in Reno. She made her first breakaway finals last year and won the first, and I think maybe first and second rounds. Anyway, men's national team champs, Tarleton State from Stephenville, and the women's team. Yeah, they're a force. And the women's team, Southwest Texas College, which I know the headliner on that one was AC Pinkston. So congratulations to all these young people. Just getting there is a major accomplishment. And, you know, I didn't bring details today, before I leave the subject of college rodeo, they did announce something interesting, that they are splitting the Southwest region into two regions next year.
Really?
Yes. And so I think it's pretty interesting because it's like, I feel like they might be going to call one of them the Lone Star region. And then the other one maybe has some Texas and New Mexico, and I can't remember what they're calling it. It's a name. It's kind of an unusual name, but I'm going to take a strong guess that it's because the Texas region has been so tough, and it was mentioned, you know, that even for recruiting purposes, you know, I mean, you'll have twice the chance of making the college finals for one, you know, but some of those rodeos, you know, there are just hundreds of kids in advance. And so it probably makes sense. Anyway, that's kind of a big happening. So the next thing I wanted to touch on, a few kind of like highlight things out of our rodeo world, is the fact that the longstanding 3.3 second world team roping record just fell at Nampa. Mason Appleton and Rance Doyle, a couple of Oklahoma guys, were 3-2 to win the second round at the Snake River Stampede in Nampa. And the 3-3, which ended up being matched by kind of a lot of people, it was first, I'll never forget the night, around 9 in 2009 at the NFR. 3-5 had stood for a long time, and here comes JoJo Lamont and Randon Adams, and they were 3-4. And JoJo came running up that tunnel, you know, where the barrel racers come in and out or whatever, like he handed his horse off or something, came running up there, hooping and hollering. And moments later, Chad Masters and Jade Corkill were 3-3. And, you know, that was wild. I remember Chad rode that gray horse, Handsome. I feel like Jade was on Ice Cube, his sorrel horse. But anyway, it was last matched. The 3-3 was last matched by Tyler Wade and Wesley Thorpe at the 2023 NFR. Mason Appleton, I know he's from Chelsea, Oklahoma, which is home, was home to Clem and Donna McSpadden. And Rance Doyle, also from Oklahoma, he's 24. He, for people who don't know, you and I worked for the PBR for a long time. Rance's dad was one of the studs on the PBR tour, Roy Doyle. And so interesting to see his son now have a team roping world record, right? And anyway, that was exciting. And Roy does a lot of judging now, too. I think he's a very highly respected at both ends of the arena. And now we have a little bit more support of why he knows his stuff at both ends, obviously. Anyway, a couple other pieces of huge industry news that I wanted to mention. Tuesday, June 24th. So on Friday night, June 20th, a three-year-old Blue Roan mare, her name's Crosby Ray Vaughn, owned by Solo Select and Relentless Remuda, which is Trevor Brazil and his partner Miles Baker, sold this three-year-old mare. Basically, she's a prospect for $1.7 million at the Old West Fraternity Rope Horse Sale in Heber City, Utah.
That's where I'm at right now, Heber City, Utah.
Which is a beautiful place. I've been there because of the college, or I think I was in and through there because of the high school finals with my kids. But anyway, that is really neat. And... well, I'm just gonna hit my other high note, and then I'm gonna make $1.7 million. Yes.
Does that pencil out? Was this a stud, a mare? What was it?
So this is a mare, and they are going to. My understanding, they are going to leave this mare in the hands of Solo Select and the Relentless Remuda guys. And I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty high tech in the breeding business these days, you know.
We had the crazy vet on. Remember, he said there was only like 8 indicators or something like that in the genetics. So yeah.
Well, it was really neat. Like over the weekend, he sent me a video of this horse when she was just a little baby at his Timber Creek Veterinary Hospital in Canyon, and he said, "Yeah, I've had the mama, the baby, the stud, the grandparents, they've all been through here, you know." And so it's just, you know, cool. But, okay, I'm going to say my other thing, and then I'm going to have a point that applies to both of these things. So yesterday, Monday, June 23rd, Shelby Medjet at Reno, in the first round, she and her wonder horse, Anna, were 1-9 to set a new Reno rodeo record. And there it is. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's like beautiful form by horse and cowgirl.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And so that was really cool. On the sad side is that Shelby's world champion tie down roper husband Haven Medjet is it just doctors released Reno with a 30-day doctor's release for a ruptured disc in his back. And so he's hoping to come back. I think it's about the third week in July at Ogden is his goal. But I've been through that ruptured disc stuff with a calf rubber son, and it is no fun. So I hope that it's not, I hope that 30 days will do it. And that is a very painful thing. So my comment before I let you say whatever you want to say is that on both the $1.7 million horse and Shelby, I'm pretty disappointed in people and their Nasty Gram comments. When Solo Select and you know, the Team Roping Journal, because it's Trevor and Miles, and different people reported on this $1.7 million sale, people were ruthless. Like, instead of congratulations, people were like, oh, I don't even know what all. They're like, oh, blah, blah. Oh, there's been a racehorse that sold for more, or there's been a barrel horse that sold for more, or whatever. And I guess my comment back is that I cannot imagine that we can't be happy for the cool thing that just happened for these people without minimizing cool things that have happened to people in the past. I mean, that would be the equivalent for me of not being happy for Ty Murray when he broke Larry Mahan's record because, you know, it wrecked Mahan's record, or you know, not being happy for Trevor. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, to me, it's like, this is not a contest. When somebody pays $1.7 million for a three-year-old prospect, somebody along the way did something cool and something right. And to me, it's like, congratulations. And my second example with Shelby is, yes, she drew a really strong calf in the perf last night for her second round. Yes, she rubbed a front leg. But do the minions really need to come on when I've congratulated her on social media and say, well, she missed her second calf, she won't be, really? You know, she just set a record at this, the wildest, richest rodeo in the West. And all you have to say is that she roped, you know, missed her second calf, folks. Because, by the way, I know from Haven that she flew home today to practice because she was so pissed off that she missed her second calf. So I'm just like, people and their ridiculous peanut gallery rudeness need to really think about it. Because I'll say this, my blocking game is so strong. I will be cool. Like, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but if people start being just rude and mean for like, and stupid, life's too short. I just won't. Anyway, congratulations to Solo Select and the Relentless Remuda, and to the buyers who are from Borger, Texas. You know, good for them.
Well, that's so, a big check to come from Borger, Texas.
Well,
congratulations. That's a lot of money, and that's great. I hope it works out. That's fantastic. For a prospect, I'm the kind of guy that would have a hard time doing that, because in my mind, I would be like, what if that horse colics and there goes 1.7 million? But I guess that you just don't think that way.
Well,
but I have a little quiz.
There is horse insurance.
No, I know, but I don't think it's easily paid out. It's kind of like rain insurance for events. Okay, I have a question for you, because now this, don't take this wrong and don't pull your stiletto off. This is a real quiz for you. You amaze me, absolutely amaze me, and I'm not being sarcastic here, at the memory that you have for horses' names. Okay? I mean, it's incredible. It's almost like family members. Your database is almost ChatGPT style. So, I just got a wild hair. Do you know the name of the horse that Tonto rode? That's Lone Ranger, his sidekick. Do you remember the name of the horse Tonto rode. She's gonna kill me.
I might. I guess I guess not. I didn't spend too much time in front of the TV as a child. But I remember when you say Tonto, all I remember is Tonto used to tell the Lone Ranger, call the Lone Ranger Kimosabe, right?
Kimosabe.
I ride Scout. I don't know if I ever watched an episode because I really was running around out in the wild blue yonder as a kid.
The hint is I ride Scout fast.
Oh, I wouldn't have come up with that.
Well, anyway, well, we're gonna roll on today because our guest has been waiting for a long, long time. Here's the interesting thing that I brought up. I think that our rodeo world has no idea of the amount of effort, time, blood, sweat, tears, money, everything that the rodeo committees put in to put on a professional rodeo event, a PRCA event. And so I thought it would be unique to bring a guest on that's on the committee. I think pretty much wrangles the whole deal, but we'll find out in a second. For a first time PRCA rodeo in a small town. So I this kind of stuff fascinates me because the challenges. So, second disclaimer I'm going to put up before I bring her on. And she's on so she can hear me, but you people can't see it. I butcher names. We talked about this earlier on the podcast. I have been embarrassed, flogged for names that I shouldn't do. But I'm going to give it a shot when we bring her on because that's what like a broadcast host is supposed to do. So joining us from Kanab, Utah, which is right there south, right by the Arizona line, Cambry Anderson. Did I get it right?
So close.
Oh, no. Tell me. Correct me.
Camberley. Yep.
My parents did the whole Utah thing, and one liked Camille and one liked Kimberly, and so they smushed them together, and that's
what I got. Well, a little background. So the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo traditionally supports the smallest six rodeos in the state with what's called their Pioneer Bonus Program, which is prize money additions to the small rodeos. And this year, when we got our list, you guys popped up as a first year rodeo, and your event was May 30th and 31st. And in Kanab, which is the background here, Kendra, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's Red Rock background, Kane County, Utah, right across. You're not very far across the Arizona line, are you?
Yeah. 4 miles. Yeah.
4 miles. So you're that close to the heat and all of that stuff. A population of what? About 5,000? Is that right?
Yep.
And I'll end it with this because I think it's more interesting. I'll save my next thing to ask you for later on when we get through the rodeo stuff. But you guys decided to put on a PRCA rodeo. That's pretty cool. How does that happen? Like, are you someone sitting at the coffee shop and like, we ought to do a rodeo here, Bill? Yeah. Call Kimberly. She'll put it on.
Yeah. Cool or crazy. Probably a little bit of both. You know, our former commissioner, Wade Heaton, sat down with me and my director. We're working underneath the Office of Tourism here in Kane County, and came to us and said, I'd like to expand the heritage that Kane County has with rodeos, the Western culture, cowboys, you know? He's a cowboy. So we were thinking, and he says, what about bringing a pro rodeo, the PRCA here? And I looked at him and I said, you're nuts. You know, that's a big undertaking. And he just kind of kept chewing on it and just saying, come on. I mean, this was the kind of the go. And then he actually reached out to a resident here in Kane County that is a PRCA rodeo cowboy and said, would you be willing to help us get our feet on the ground with this? His name is Josh Jennings. And he jumped at the chance because, I mean, you know, a PRCA rodeo in his backyard, he loved that. So thus it began, the planning, the headache. And I do have to correct you, though. This was actually our second PRCA rodeo.
I'm sorry. I did not know.
The first one was, we'd like to forget that one.
The first one that you're boasting about.
Yes. The first one was 2024. We literally decided to go for it in March and held it in July. And so we were behind the gun the whole time, just trying to keep up on all the stuff that, you know, the requirements that PRCA has on the arena and stuff like that. The back and forth with the paperwork, it got over, and I just looked at Commissioner Heaton and I said, what have we done to ourselves? And he said, no, this is great. Now next year. And I just, next year. But it gave us some time to do some planning and some, reaching out to some different sponsors to get a little bit more footing underneath us. And once we found our headliner sponsor, it was just a green light from there out. Katori Canyon, the development here in King County, and they fell in love with Kanab specifically on a trip through here, fell in love with the area and just said, we want to be part of this community. They jumped in with both feet and never looked back. So it's been great.
That's really cool. Well, I usually talk a lot, but the smart one of us too, well, there's three of us on here. One's way smarter than me. That's Greg. He's in the background. And then the one that likes to fight with me is Kendra Santos. If you haven't found her on Facebook and you want to know everything rodeo, it's Kendra. And so I'm going to let Kendra, I've got a bunch of questions for you, but I'm going to let Kendra fire off some stuff because she's always very interesting.
Great. Well, I'm interested. I ask questions for a living. It's very appropriate because I'm so curious about everything. But since this was your second one, I would love to know, like, what were the most significant changes you made for this one to be that much better than the last one?
Purse. Just brought a different, cowboy. It just brought a different cowboy to the arena. Our first year, our purse per event was $1,000, which is still, wonderful for not knowing what we were doing. Literally, I feel like they got their money's worth because we gave them that kind of rodeo. You know, the livestock broker that we had worked with, bless their souls, they just kind of came and walked us through it and helped us to learn the ins and outs. And we kept that contractor for this year and couldn't do it without.
And that's Honeycutt.
Is that yeah. Right? Yep.
That is a long lived family in rodeo, the Honeycutt.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You know, a funny story about that, real quick, is when Commissioner Heaton asked me to start looking into livestock brokers, I found them because they're from the same Colorado Valley as my husband. So I reached out to them, and my husband goes, oh, they would never come to Kanab. That's too little, too far. So I brushed them off. And then our chairman, Josh Jennings, reached out to him and they were like, yes, we would love to help you grow a rodeo. And so they kind of rubbed that into my salt in the wound that I didn't give them a chance from the get-go. But we've loved working with them. They've been great.
What's the goal? I mean, when you say it's like, okay, well, we want to have a rodeo, like, why? Like, what's the goal with bringing a rodeo to town?
So, like I said earlier, I'm King County Events. That's my job. And we work off under the Office of Tourism. So that was the first thing we thought was, people are coming here from Europe, from all over the country that are looking for the authentic Western experience. What does that give them? And we have beautiful landscape, like you said, Red Hills, Tommy said, wonderful ATV and trails. But when they come here, we want them to feel the good old fashioned hometown feel, the cowboy up the street, experience. How do you do that?
Like there's tourism in a town of 4,600.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's our number one industry.
Mm-hmm. That is Utah. Kendra, yeah. There's a lot of 4,000 people towns that have a lot of ATVs in them, and the tourism, Utah does an amazing job there's so many landscapes here, from the high desert to the rocks to the mountains, that tourism is a 12-month a year. It's a different season and major.
Yeah.
Well, like, do you, it's Camberley. Right?
Yes.
Did you have any rodeo background yourself when you took this on?
No. Mm-mm. So like I said, I work events in general. So we have a hot air balloon festival that we do, you know, and different things like that, music concerts and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny that I actually got headed over rodeos, because I'm terrified of cows. And horses, although beautiful, they don't have the patience for me. I've been on 6 horses my entire life and been bucked off of 4. Like, they can just tell that I'm not comfortable, and they just don't have time for me. So they just chuck me.
Well, since you're on with this on a rodeo podcast, it's strictly rodeo. I will say that it was very unique that you called it a livestock broker. Because in our world, it's the stock contractor.
Stock contractor. See?
So now when you get in there, I would throw away broker, go with stock contractor. And I mean, you are moving right up the rodeo ladder.
I'm saying every year, Jerry Honeycutt just now Camberley, and he puts his arm around me. Now, you know, and he'll tell me these little things. And if I'm smart, I remember it for the next year.
Was it important to you? Do you feel like you sold more tickets to tourists or locals?
Collectively, it was probably more out-of-towners, more out-of-county. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. And we have a great following here locally of rodeos, because that's our community. But I would probably say 2/3 were from out of town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it important to you all that it be a PRCA sanctioned rodeo?
Yeah. And we want people to walk away and just be like, that was an adventure, you know? So we're hoping, like, for example, we had a couple that pulled in from Norway in their ATV. They came down from Bryce because they heard it on the radio. We talked to that same couple at the end of it, and they were like, I'm going to go buy a cowboy hat. And they were just, that was a whole culture that they had never experienced before. And I don't think that they would have got that outside of that high caliber PRCA event if it wouldn't have been that higher caliber event.
Do you guys have did you have a lot of volunteers step up, and were they rodeo people or just people from
our volunteer rodeo world here is phenomenal. I mean, you say rodeo, we need help, and we have people just come out of the woodworks. It's great. And it's funny, because we do have several rodeos through the years, like ranch style rodeos and, you know, stuff like that. And it's the same people. They're in it 100%. It's a lifestyle. So, yeah, it's been pretty easy to conjure up some help when we need to.
Now, did you have a lot of contestants? Did you have to have slack, or did you?
We did. So our first year, like the one I'm telling you that we don't really remember very much of, we had slack for about 45 minutes on Saturday morning. And then this time we had slack Saturday morning that almost went 4 hours.
Congratulations.
It was just more than we had ever even imagined would take place. It just boomed.
Well, that's economic impact, because all of those contestants come in and they spend money buying tires, going to the grocery store, buying cinnamon rolls and everything else to feed their family that's through in the back in the camper and going down the road with them.
Exactly. You know, and that's where we're different, as, you know, a lot of rodeos have to make that gate fee to help pay for the rodeo, whereas we're county. And with the help of our sponsor, the goal wasn't to make money. It was that to have a great show. And so we just hope that they come back and bring friends, and the economical impact that it made on our community, that's the payback.
Are there things that really stand out now after this second one that you're thinking already? I mean, are you going back for more thirds next year? So what have you guys, like, made a list? These are the things we'd like to do better, different.
Yeah. I'd say a lot of it is, like, we're a small town community. And so our arena has just slowly built and changed and improvements. And I think that's our biggest thing, is we just want our arena to be top class. So just slowly making improvements there, bigger grandstands, you know, make our contractors. Did I get it right? Contractors.
You did. You nailed it. Better than I did with your name.
Right. some work on the sheets and stuff like that. So that's as far as the actual arena and rodeo. There's a whole list of stuff we want to improve as we can. And then, you know, like this year we added in like a drill team that came in and did like the, you know, the pregame show and the flags and stuff like that. We had our first year of rodeo royalty here in Kane County. We'd never done that before with some help of some wonderful volunteers again.
That's a fun thing.
We just added in some more. And now that we've got a taste of some of the funner parts of putting on a rodeo, I don't think we're going to stop. I think we're just going to keep adding to it.
How many seats do you have?
Your added money? Sorry.
Go ahead, Kendra.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How many seats do you have currently?
Eventually get our headline sponsor. Like I said, they've been amazing with their willingness to give. Our goal is to get their give into the event to be just solely purse money, so that we as a county can justify covering the other expenses. So
how many seats can you sell?
What's that?
How many seats can you sell?
Right now our grandstands can do about 2,000, maybe a little bit over if they bring lawn chairs.
And what was your average ticket price?
We did $10 at the gate. Yep.
That's amazing.
There you go. We had some people from Spain. They're like, why so cheap? And we were like, oh, we thought that was expensive. But not for, I guess, the amount of entertainment that they had. So maybe that might go up. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So quick question. If you look back in your 1 year/2 years of doing this, what was the biggest challenge that you can remember? Like the most frustrated you were? And we're no spin rodeo. So as long as you don't get in trouble, we don't get in trouble. Okay. We just say it like we see it. So can you remember that one time when you were just about ready to pull your hair out and say, you can take this rodeo and put it on a bucking horse?
Oh, I don't know. I think, and it's probably this way with any event across the board, paperwork, the communication with the PRCA to make sure that we
get
all of our things checked and all that. There were times I'm like, okay, we're good. And then 2 weeks later, we're like, oh, I guess we weren't good. We didn't have this right. There's just that, the paperwork. I think any event, you throw the paperwork out the window and it's smooth sailing. It's always the paperwork that fumbles you up, it seems like, but necessary. You know, you got the insurance and just all the little things you got to do paperwork wise to make sure you're covered and the contractors are covered. And yeah, that's.
Do you have a committee? How many committee people do you have? Do you have a committee, or are you solo?
No, I mean, my team with the county, I have 5 people on my team. We extend that to 8 if we include the entire Office of Tourism. And then we had a chairman, Josh Jennings, like I said, that was kind of our consul, you know, on PRCA type rodeos. And then our sheriff's department, our King County Sheriff, Tracy Glover, he's all in. He loves everything Western Heritage Rodeo. And he sort of manages the facility out at the Caneplex, which is our rodeo grounds. And he just jumped in. So I'd probably say our head committee members were myself, my team, Josh Jennings, Tracy Glover, and with the help of Commissioner Wade Heaton. And then we brought in, you know, the people who were willing to help. So we had probably a total team from our King County group was probably 20 people. And then the rest, the contractor Honeycutts supplied the, you know, the people who work the shoots and the timed events and stuff like that. So, but if you know anything about family life, 20 people to give up a night is it's a lot of work to just get that on the schedule. Yeah. So it's a great group though.
Awesome. Is it a wilderness circuit rodeo?
Yeah. Yep. We're right on the cuff. We try every year to get into the turquoise, and you know, but we're right there on that cuff, just a few miles off to be included in different circuits. So
wilderness circuit's great.
Where we're at.
Wilderness circuit's great.
Yeah.
Now, question for you. In the 3 days, well, it's probably more like 3 weeks, but just in the 3 days, the day before the rodeo, the day of the rodeo, and the day after, just so our listeners understand, mm-hmm. how much sleep did you get?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't know. Between, I'd get about a 6 hour night in every night. Yeah, that's not too terrible for an event planner. That the day before is probably the biggest headache, just because you're making sure all those little boxes are checked and following up with people, make sure tasks were done. And if they weren't done, they don't have time. You just got to jump in and do them. Doesn't matter if it's yours or not. And then the day after, of course, the cleanup is always the fun part. But luckily, like I said, even our community, our grandstands, they announced it, hey, please help our team clean up. And we had people volunteering to pick up bathrooms, and it's great.
Well, that's so Utah.
It wasn't terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Utah has much more. Yeah. They're much more volunteer. You can't say that about every other state, but Utah is very volunteer and family oriented, and the Western lifestyle and the pioneer heritage is very, very important to them. But one thing that I wanted to touch on, and then I'll kick it back over to Kendra, most rodeo committees, including me and ours, you know, it's financially scary. I mean, you try to, you know, you add a couple entertainment items to your show, you add some music, you upgrade on a contract personnel position. And I mean, if you think about it, 2,000 tickets at a $10 deal, that's $20,000. That's $40,000. I guarantee you, we just talked about a horse that sold for $1.7 million. So you're in a unique position that, because like all of our net profits go to charity, but still, it's a daunting task to balance a budget with a rodeo, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it doesn't matter how big your budget is, it will always run out. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard. If you capped out at, you know, $500,000 and you're putting on a $500,000 show, eventually you're watching it shrink down and you're going, oh, okay, we're down to slim pickings now. And you start doing a little bit of trimming here and there. But yeah, the budget's always a concern, even where in our case, where we're county and we have a budget set for that. And like I said, we don't have to necessarily make back that income. I mean, it helps if we can recover some of that, but you just watch that budget and you just watch it get smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're going, oh, we better put on a good show for this amount. I have yet to be with any of our events. I feel like our budget is spent really, really well, and it's a good event and a good show. And the rodeo this year, people are still talking about it here in Kanab. The locals about how, oh, are we doing that again next year? And that right there, that the payoff. Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
Well, I had a question, but my COVID brain just lost it. So, I've got nothing. I got nothing else. Congratulations and welcome to the Western Lifestyle family. Did you notice that the rodeo world, we call it behind the chutes, did you notice it really is kind of a big family? I mean, it's very tight-knit, different than other sports athletes. You know, you've got, it's a very, very Utah-like group where it's the contestants that come in and how they help each other.
Yeah.
You know, I've had sports people say, I don't understand why a person wants to win, but they want someone else to beat them. And it's a whole different cowboy culture, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, you watch the cowboy that gets bucked off or, you know, misses their, I can't remember what they call it, you know, their heeler, miss their mark. And, of course, are disappointed, but then they stay and watch the person that's their competitor and they're cheering for them. You know, I actually watched at this rodeo, this dad goes, oh, so-and-so is up. And I go, who's that? And he goes, it's my son. I asked the contractor if I could go back and pull his chute. You don't get that in any other sport, you know, like, hey, dad, come on back and do this with me so that he can be part of that whole experience with the athlete. It's just, it is, it's a really different culture. And they're all back there supporting, cleaning, mucking each other's, you know, stalls and stuff. I loved, we had our Utah Rodeo Queen come down and I'm on the phone with her trying to coordinate her arrival and stuff like that. And I said, so are you bringing your horse? Do you need a stall? And she goes, oh no, I called so-and-so and I'm going to borrow one of her horses. I'm like, oh, you know her? And she goes, no, I don't know her. But you know, that's what they do. They help each other out. They've always got each other's backs, it seems like.
Well, the question came back to me when you reached out to the PRCA, did they give you like a starter kit? Like, did they send you anything that said, you know, here's your inventory to sell, buck and shoots, arena dasher signs, replays? Did you get any of that? Or is it kind of a learn as you're drinking from the fire hose type thing?
I think it's kind of a learn as you go.
Yeah.
I learned more from talking with our chairman, Josh Jennings, and, you know, other rodeo contestants that were coming in and out than anything in paper that they sent me. Yeah. And it's not that it was insufficient. It was just that, you know, I think you actually do learn more if you're digging in and getting it yourself rather than getting it fed to you. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Kendra, anything rolling around in your noggin?
The biggest thing I feel like is thank you, because and I think that one of the things that makes like cowboys and cowgirls, rodeo athletes, whatever you want to call them, different is besides the camaraderie amongst themselves is how approachable they are. And I feel like, you know, I hope you were able to, you know, visit with some of them, because they would be so happy to like say, well, if you did this or if you did that. I mean, something might be so small as, gosh, if Slack was 2 hours different, it would fit in perfectly with this other rodeo, or you know,
right,
you run your tractor halfway through the barrel race or whatever it is. But they're really, really happy to, when they see you working hard to put on a rodeo that they're really happy to come to, and, you know, working hard to keep increasing your, you know, added money and all that, they'll do anything to help you. They're just really nice people, but they appreciate that people take their vacation from work to volunteer at rodeos.
Yeah,
to go year round. It's an amazing phenomenon, really. So thank you is my biggest.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, we did love some of the feedback that we got from the rodeo contestants, even because we had of course our payout, you know, for the winners. We also had we decided not to do buckles and stuff like that. And so our chairman was like, cowboys and cowgirls love trinkets. They love their little drawer full of trinkets, right? So he came up with a great idea, and I was a little iffy at first, but they just turned out beautiful. We did a prop six shooter gun with a leather holster for our champions. There's a little play into that because Kanab, King County, our part of our heritage is film. We did a lot of Westerns. Gunsmoke was filmed here, lots of Western films. So that's, we felt it was appropriate to give them a film prop, you know, and some of the contestants were like, this is so beautiful. This is, the leather work is gorgeous. But almost every single one of them were like, but it doesn't say Kanab, Utah on it. So next year on our notes, Kanab, Utah on the leather, you know, on the belt. So we loved the feedback that we got from each of them, everything from the prizes to, food. They wanted different food to be able to be around them. Just little things like that. And we took note, because if they don't show up, then we don't have a great show. So they're a great, great community to work with. And they are very personal, and they'd walk out and, you know, the kids would be like, are you that cowboy? Yeah. Did that hurt? Yeah. You know, type thing. They were great. They were a great community to have here in our community. So we loved it.
It's a challenge to make all of the different disciplines of rodeo or events. It's traditionally called events. I say disciplines. Right. Kendra sends events. But, you know, you've got everybody's unique and what they need. So it's pretty hard to keep everybody happy. Yeah. Everybody has a different opinion on the ground. Everybody has a different opinion on a bucking horse and all of that. But overall, very endearing, and we just want you to know how much we appreciate you. And you led into that, because I was going to say they call Kanab Little Hollywood,
yeah, right?
And then but yep. You beat me to the punch on all of the cool films that they've done there. So yeah, that's cool. That's very cool.
Hundreds and hundreds of films. Yep.
Well, thank you for staying late at work.
You bet.
Hopefully you get some overtime for being on our podcast. And we really appreciate Kanab. We appreciate you being a part of the PRCA family. I'll reach out to you via text, and I want to invite you and your family to the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo. Come be my guest, and we'll talk about it some more. But thank you very much for coming on and being a part of our show.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. Nice to meet you guys, all of you.
Thank you.
Right. You bet.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye. Well, that's pretty cool, I think. I mean, just a quick insight, right, into what it takes for these people, especially first year, to put on a rodeo, Kendra, and that's our livelihood. Without them, we don't have jobs. Rodeo gets in your blood. I promised whenever I was cleaning monkey poop and driving on a Murray lawnmower pulling sheep around the arena at 16 years old that I wouldn't be in rodeo, and here I am. So, and blessed to be a part. Well, final thoughts, anybody? Greg, you've been awful quiet. Any final thoughts? Otherwise, we're going to call it quits for number 64 of No Spin Rodeo.
No, I think everyone went well. It was nice to hear her take on being a, you know, first-time rodeo producer. And I think she's, you know, she's got a good handle on what needs to happen. So I'm excited. Cool. I actually wouldn't be bad going down and checking it out.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of look like John Wayne. You'd fit in.
Yeah.
Well, Kendra, thank you. I hope you have a great week until we meet again next week. All of you that are joining us live on Facebook and YouTube, thanks for joining our video portion of this. If you're listening to the podcast, we try to bring you stuff a little bit different, get you thinking about different things. And so today was first year rodeos and what it takes. And thank God, because every rodeo was a first year rodeo, right? Every rodeo, including Big Reno going on, there was a time when it was their first year. So on behalf of myself, Kendra Santos, the very much more sexy part of this duo, and Greg Teagarden, thank you all for joining us. We'll see you in 1 week. This has been No Spin Rodeo. We'll catch you next time.